on radio, on YouTube, streaming live on investtalk.com, and for our podcast subscribers, this is Invest Talk. Independent thinking, shared success. InvestTalk is made possible by KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm serving clients throughout the United States. Here is KPP Financial Chief Executive Officer, Financial Advisor Justin Klein.
Good afternoon, fellow investors, and welcome back to InvestTalk. This is our November 4th, 2025 edition of InvestTalk, and yeah, we're just a few weeks away from Thanksgiving, but markets are in an interesting place right now. We had quite the volatile day, and we're still in the midst of earnings season. And the reactions of many companies, many Palantir last night, we had AMD tonight. And there's just a lot of moving parts that are adding up to a more precarious situation than we've seen really since the spring. And we are going to focus on that and much more during this hour, because it's not just about what happens over the next week or month or even year. It's more about teaching you lessons on how to understand the risks and rewards of different asset classes and different investments, sectors, companies, and weigh those pros and cons and do that in a way that fits your particular needs, your goals. Someone who's in retirement, their goals are very different than somebody who's in their 30s still building their wealth. So understanding that context matters as well. So that's what this hour will be about, is helping you navigate the current market, but also your financial journey as well. So I'm Justin Klein. And the way that we operate on this show is, number one, answering your finance and investment questions. Number two is always topics that we want to get to and we will get to and give you data and perspective on. But once again, this show isn't about what I want to talk about, it's what you want to talk about. So I encourage you to pick up the phone and give us a call at 888-99-CHART. Now, in just a bit, we'll talk about today's market performance and run down the show topics for the hour. But as usual, we'll tackle this caller question first.
Hi, Justin and Luke. I'm really interested in LightPath Technologies, ticker symbol LPTH. They have a really good infrared glass that protects aviation from security. Thank you.
All right, looking at LPTH, and clearly he knows a decent amount about the underlying technology. It's a small company, only $336 million market cap, and it's had a pretty big run. Back in April, the April lows were $1.74, and the recent highs were, what was it, 52-week high? 52-week high is $10.69, but it's fallen 30% from that already in just the past couple of weeks. And it's down to $7.53. Now, the issue here is, whether you love their technology or not, it's not profitable. And the question is, what is that steady state profitability going to look like? And what's interesting here is they were vacillating between positive and negative cash flow. And as of late, that cash flow has gone deeply negative. And same with cash from operations. So it's not just an investment thing to handle their growth. They are supposed to grow, and growth on sales is accelerating, but their losses are also accelerating as well. So what's going on here? In the first quarter, revenues were up 19% and earnings fell 29%. In the most recent quarter, the second quarter that we have earnings on, revenues were up 41%, but earnings fell 167% to -$0.16. Its worst quarter ever when it comes to profitability. So where's the beef here? Sure, their products are in demand. You might like their technology and their products, but why is it not turning into better profitability in any way? Return on equity, return on assets, they're getting worse, not better. And this has recently topped. And it's clearly going to have a pretty significant pullback. It's already started, like I said, 30%. This type of name that'll go down 70 to 80% from its high, which means it's probably heading back to $3 or so. And then you have to really assess why do you want to invest in a name when their revenue growth turns into more losses? Doesn't make sense to me. So I would need to dig deeper. On the surface, it doesn't look like a good buy, both in the short term as well as the long term. Now, we have a lot of ground to cover over the next 45 minutes or so, and time permitting, we'll cover as much as we possibly can. And our main focus point is how to roll over an old 401k, how to think about it. Something that we've been doing for clients for 30 plus years. But it's always a good primer to kind of go back and figure out what you should do with those accounts, because the majority of InvestTalk listeners probably have an old 401k that's just sitting around, but they're not doing anything with, because there are $2 trillion. Yeah, you heard that right. $2 trillion just sitting there in old 401k plans. Pretty crazy, right? That's as of July. And so we're going to dig in to how to think about and the steps you should take when you're thinking about dealing or finally dealing with that old 401k. We'll dig into that. Also, big AI companies are reviving a vehicle, a special vehicle, hint, hint, that kind of took down the mortgage market. Now, I'm not saying that this is imminently going to do that, but it's interesting that they are turning to these type of vehicles that are very opaque and are difficult to really get a handle on when it comes to the structures and the risk involved. So we'll dig into that story. Also, investors are beginning to think about AI infrastructure as a whole. And I think it's important to go back in history and look at other infrastructure build-outs, because guess what? Infrastructure is kind of a catch-all term for long-term assets that typically are not exciting, but are important for many technologies. You know, just think of roads. Roads are infrastructure, and cars are technology. You know, we're not born with a car, right? We invented them. So we invented AI. And so it's important to look back in context to see how to think about the development of AI infrastructure long-term. And then lastly, if we have time, we'll dig into variable rate mortgages. Investors or homeowners are starting to take on those more and more. And I want to remind everyone just kind of the risks that are involved and how to think about it. We also have voice bank calls. One is on the Atlanta Braves. Yep, there is a public stock, Atlanta Braves. And then Pan America Silver, PAAS. And we also have some questions that came in via the comment section over on the InvestTalk YouTube channel as well. But we are moving into a quick break. So we're ready for your live calls. Anything finance and investment related, don't hesitate to give us a call at 888-99-CHART. Now, it's very likely you'll probably be making several important investment decisions here in the fourth quarter. Before you do, I recommend you head over to investtalk.com and download the comprehensive 2025 Q4 Economic and Market Outlook Report. It is free, but you do need to head over to investtalk.com. Now, the phone lines are open for you, waiting for you and your questions at 888-99-CHART.
The prosperous future you envision for yourself and your family will not happen without strategic planning and definitive action.
Let's go to Brian in San Mateo looking at Roku.
And I wanted your take on the technical picture.
For the unprepared investor, market volatility around the world demonstrates risk, but opportunities wait for no one. And now may be the best time in years to invest wisely, to invest strategically.
What I would do is keep saving and look for other opportunities.
But how can you decide what sectors to avoid, which stocks to buy, and what might be the best price point?
I'm new to investing, and my friend Wesley recommended your podcast a year ago.
The next decisive step on your path to financial freedom begins with a Spotify search for Invest Talk. Listen live or download the free podcast.
You know your business inside and out. Gusto knows payroll, compliance, and benefits as well, so you don't have to. Sounds like a match made in heaven, right? Gusto is online payroll and benefits software built for small businesses. It's all in one, remote friendly, and incredibly easy to use. So you can pay, hire, onboard, and support your team from anywhere. Gusto helps you save time with automated tools built right in. Offer letters, onboarding materials, direct deposit, and more. Automatic payroll tax filing, simple direct deposits, health benefits, commuter benefits, workers' comp, 401k, you name it. Gusto makes it simple and has options for nearly every budget. Get direct access to certified HR experts to help support you through any tough HR situation. It's quick and simple to switch to Gusto. Just transfer your existing data to get up and running fast. Plus, don't pay a cent until you run your first payroll. Try Gusto today at gusto.com/investtalk and get 3 months free when you run your first payroll. That's 3 months of free payroll at gusto.com/investtalk. One more time, gusto.com/investtalk.
Millions of downloads have proved there's value in every InvestTalk podcast. Call anytime, 24/7, InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
Let's go take a look at the market today. It was a decidedly negative day once again, and really it was on the back of the Palantir earnings that on the surface seemed good. But as I had been saying over the past week, is that even good earnings were not being rewarded by large movements upward in the underlying stock price. I would say only Amazon really had great reaction to its report. All the others were middling to poor. And you saw today that Palantir was kind of the canary in the coal mine that, you know, all the buyers are in. And it was down 8% on the day, despite a fantastic earnings report and outlook. Now, part of that is obviously the valuations are completely egregious in Palantir, probably one of the most overvalued companies of all time. But then when that happens and that has a reversal, it starts to spread. And you had names like Tesla and Uber down 5%. You had NVIDIA down 4%. AMD was down 3.7% and down more after hours after its earnings announcement. So you're kind of getting another wave here of deleveraging. And especially because how crowded, not just the market is, but how crowded the average investor, retail investor portfolio is. When you get big reversals in these crowded names, it starts to spread. Because a lot of these, the average investor, they leverage their portfolio. They do stupid things. They get overexposed to one particular sector of the market. And that can boom and bust, right? It can do really well like it has recently. But when that turns, it busts really fast because of that's the correlation within that sector. Because if you look at the heat map today, I'm staring right at it on the S&P, there's actually a lot of green. You had finance, almost every name, I don't say every name, but the vast majority of names in the finance sector were up today. And retail, Walmart, Costco, Home Depot, TJ Maxx, Lowe's, all up today. Amazon, the big loser, down 1.8%. Healthcare, most of that was up. You did have some in industrials that didn't do well, but I think that had a lot to do with kind of, in that space, you have Lam Research and Applied Materials, which are very kind of tech adjacent, shall we say. and a lot that are also AI adjacent. Okay. And so what you're starting to see here is, as I've said over the last couple of weeks, you're starting to see liquidity in the market dry up. And this is happening underneath the surface in the credit markets. You're seeing things like LIBOR spreads widen out, which is wonky, but it basically means that banks aren't having enough reserves and capital, and so they're having to pay up for excess capital, and that's causing rates to rise. And then you get the canary in the coal mine, which I've been saying recently, which is Bitcoin. Bitcoin has entered a pretty consistent downturn. And it broke briefly below. Did it break below 100,000? I thought I heard it did. I'm not seeing on this chart it did. 100,164. That was at 2 p.m. today. So recently bounced back up today. You're about a 101 right now. But overall, just general weakness. And is it kind of canary in the coal mine that liquidity is drying up? Then you get the sell-off in tech stocks, and you get deleveraging across the system. And so it's a very, very, very crowded trade right now. And I'm starting to think that this is not going to be your normal Santa Claus rally. I actually think this is going to be a market pullback into year end, and maybe even into January. So once again, I don't think this is at the end of the bull market. I think you probably could at least have one more move higher above 7,000 in the S&P at some point in 2026. But, you know, the market is just offsides here. And obviously with AI hype, that is starting to come undone. And all of these factors are starting to build up to a more negative near-term outlook for markets. Now we're moving to a break, still to come. My focus point, more answers to your questions. So I encourage you to call right now on Invest Talk at 888-99-CHART.
Invest Talk innovators, Justin Klein and Luke Guerrero, interview company leaders, founders, and visionaries. So head over to the Invest Talk YouTube channel and look for Invest Talk innovators. Justin Klein is here now and ready to answer your finance and investment questions. Call Invest Talk 888-99-CHART.
Our main focus point today is about how to roll over an old 401k. And old 401ks are a lot like those old clothes in your closet or that old piece of furniture that you've meant to replace. You know, it's about inertia, and you just don't have the time. All those things do is take up space, but you just mostly have it out of sight, out of mind. And that's an issue. Because most people know they should consider rolling their old 401k into an IRA, but few people do it. Mainly because most people don't know the process or the costs of that inertia. And that's why, as of July, employees have left $2 trillion in assets in old, former 401ks. Now, if the old 401k is not great, it's probably hindering your returns, okay? So there's opportunity cost there. And then old plans often have a layer of administrative fees, which you pay for. You don't know that, but you do. Every plan's different. But a lot of times the employees do have a burden of the cost of administering a plan, which are much more complex than an IRA. There are rules around contributions and there's a lot of regulations in the 401k world, which 401k plans have to abide by. And that takes people, it takes time, it takes costs. Now, when you roll into IRA, well, you can get around those costs. And then the fund choices, maybe the fund choices are poor. That's often the case as well. Maybe they're high fees. That's often the case as well, especially when the funds are all in one fund family. I see that a lot where there's no one fund family that's great at everything, right? That's great at foreign equity investing and small cap domestic investing and bond investing. None of them are top tier at everything. So now that you know you should at least think about rolling up over your old 401k, let's talk about the steps of getting it done. Now, the first is a check the account value. And a lot of people don't know this, but if your account value is over $7,000, well, you can leave the money behind in the old 401k, which you've already been doing probably. You can roll it over into an IRA or a new employer's plan. Do that as well. Now, the issue with the new employer's plan is, once again, you're locked into potentially higher administrative fees and limited investment choices. So that's why it's almost always better to roll it into an IRA. Now, if the value is between $1,000 and $7,000, employer must roll the assets into an IRA for you. If it's below $1,000, oftentimes they'll just cash it out for you and you'll have to pay taxes and penalty on it. Now, step two is determine whether to stay within the 401k confines. Like I said, most 401ks have pretty constrained options and high fees, et cetera. So rolling into a no fee, make sure it's a no fee IRA. It makes sense. And you can invest in almost anything within an IRA and avoid those administrative fees, like I said. So some people value, though, the extra creditor protection that a 401k can provide. So that is one difference, is if you file for bankruptcy, for having money in a 401k can protect your assets in more than an IRA can in most states. And for most people, are you close to bankruptcy? Probably not, right? So I think it's a very minor thing to consider, but it is something to consider for some people. Then you figure out where to roll it over. I think it's very simple. You roll it into a large brokerage firm. Don't mess around. You know, there's a lot of them out there. We use Schwab for our clients. Fidelity, I would say Fidelity and Schwab are probably the main two that you'd want to use. You know, there's others as well. E-Trade, that's fine. But that's very simple. And then figure out whether you want to convert it to a Roth IRA. Can do it at the same time. We don't have to set up a traditional IRA. You can just set up a Roth IRA and then convert it. And all of that will be taxable to you in that year. But if you're in a low tax bracket and it's not a big dollar amount, that can be smart. Now you don't have to do that, right? You can wait a little longer and do the conversion at a later date. So for most people, they probably want to do that, wait a little bit and get with an advisor like me. And figure out a Roth conversion strategy. I think that would be important as well once you create a financial plan. And then how do you execute it? Process is pretty similar across whoever your provider is, whether it's T. Rowe Price or Fidelity or whatever, is they will have rollover specialists to assist you in the process. You'll get a check. Sometimes they'll let you send the check directly to the provider, or the new custodian of the IRA. So Schwab, Fidelity, E-Trade, et cetera. Others will make you a check sent out to you. Now you have 60 days to move it into that IRA. So just a heads up to make sure you get that moving. And then from there, once it's in the IRA, just figure out how to invest it, whether you do it yourself or you hire an advisor like us. Now, the next Invest Talk, we'll look into this topic, housing market forecast 2026. What's coming next? That story tomorrow. But for now, I'm Justin Klein. I'm ready to take your calls now at 888-99-CHART. Did you know your calendar age doesn't always match how old your body actually is? I found that very interesting when I learned about the True Age Test from True Diagnostic, and this knowledge has completely changed the way I think about my health. The test breaks down how fast 11 key systems like your heart, brain, liver, and lungs are aging, plus over 75 longevity biomarkers covering things like metabolic health, immune response, and disease risk. Here's the good news. 90% of aging is driven by lifestyle and environment, not just genetics. So how we eat, move, sleep, and manage stress plays a huge role in how fast or slow we age. That means we have a lot of control over it. With just a simple at-home test, you can find out your true biological age with no doctor visits or labs, just a quick, painless finger prick. You mail in your sample using a prepaid package, and in 2 to 3 weeks, you get a detailed online report about your aging and health. True Diagnostic doesn't just give you a number. They give you a personalized report full of clear, science-backed steps you can take to slow aging and improve your health over time. If you're serious about longevity or just curious about what your body's real age is, head to truediagnostic.com and use my code INVEST for 20% off your entire order or subscription. That's truediagnostic.com, code INVEST for 20% off. Your future self will thank you.
2025 rolls on, and you've got finance and investment questions for Justin Klein and Luke Guerrero. Call Invest Talk 888-99-CHART.
Hello, this is Jack in North Carolina. Really appreciate your program as someone who's just starting to learn a little bit more detail about investing in the market. Was looking at my first move into the metals space, into mining, and came across Pan American Silver. I thought it looked decent. I just wanted to get your thoughts if now would be a good time to make a move into this company. Thanks so much for your program and everything that you all do, and look forward to hearing your response on the show.
Thank you for the call. Glad you are getting into the swing of things with investing, and you're looking to add some gold miners, or in this case, more of a silver miner, and I like that. And Pan America is a very well-run silver miner, and its earnings are supposed to be $3.30 next year, up 53% from $2.15 this year, which is up from 79 cents last year. So obviously the price of gold and silver continued to go up. And for this name, looks like gold is 65% of its revenue. Actually, sorry, 75%, and silver is about 25%. So a little diversity there, which is nice compared to most other gold miners. They're more like 90%+ in gold. So I like the diversity there. And then when you dig into its profitability and its balance sheet, pretty much no debt. Return equity, 11%, which is solid, but it's obviously on the rise. And based on forward-looking earnings, it's pretty cheap. You know, it's about a 10 forward-looking multiple. Now, technically, it is pulling back like a lot of the miners. And I do think there's still some downside in the near term, probably to around the $30 to $31 level. We're at 33, what are we close today? 33.20 at the close today. So, you know, it's had a nice 22% pullback from its 52-week high, around $42. And you're getting into the zone of good support, good valuation, and that's where I'd pick it up. Be a little patient on it. Maybe this is one. I know you might be new. Sell a cash secured put around 30 or 31. Might make sense. Now, I think you know that whenever possible, we'd like to play two questions back-to-back, so let's do that right now.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Tom from the Atlanta, Georgia area. I'm calling today about a ticker I have not heard on your show yet, and it's BATRK, the Atlanta Braves Holding. So initially, I'm a big sports fan. I know we're kind of hoping to get in on the growth of sports. It seems like when teams sell, they always go to premium. Initially, I had two shares, just kind of the novelty, so I could give one to my two sons that they own part of the team. I do not know how to value this. Wondering if this might be a good play to get in, because I know historically, sports teams are hard to get into. Private equity, but this team is publicly traded. Let me know what you think. Thank you.
All right, looking at the Atlanta Braves. The symbol is BATRK. BATRK. Pull this up here. And I don't think, did the Braves do much this year? I think they were decent. Can't remember off the top of my head. But, you know, they went public. And in many ways, it's kind of a novelty. Because if you look at the financials, nothing to write home about, actually. Return equity is negative. Free cash flow is negative. All that's improved a little bit. There's certainly growth of sports. Now, baseball, I think it has its own issues. So this year, certainly helped. I think with having the high profile nature of the Dodgers, Shohei Ohtani, and Japan, and then as in Canada, the Toronto Blue Jays making it to the World Series, and a great World Series. I don't know. I watched it. I'm a Dodger fan, and it was quite nerve wracking, but it was, I think, one of the best World Series ever. And so overall, that's a good thing for anything related to baseball. So this is more of that is you're buying a scarce commodity. They aren't making a whole lot of new Major League Baseball teams. But you're also tied to a sport that, you know, demographics skews older. I think they've done some good things with pitch clock and speeding up the game a little bit to make it more enjoyable for an audience that is more ADD, right? And wants more action. And so I think they've done some good things. Certainly need to probably address the balance within the league when it comes to competitiveness and spending. But that might actually be negative for this name, you know, that forcing them to spend a little bit more. So to me, it's still novelty. I think there's no reason not to have a few shares. I think that's cool to have your kids feel like they own a bit of the team. But I just don't love the risk versus reward because I want a business that I can understand the consistency of the profitability of the business. And that's just not the case with baseball, unfortunately. Thanks for the call. Let's talk about CDOs. Remember those? Collateralized debt obligations. There was a famous scene in The Big Short illustrating, remember the Jenga tower they were talking about? And how quickly just a few bad apples at the bottom of the CDO kind of unraveled the whole market. And what's interesting now is with massive amounts of money being spent on AI development and infrastructure, companies are turning back to this structure of what we call special purpose vehicles. These are off balance sheet entities that are relatively difficult to understand, especially for the layperson. Cantor Fitzgerald estimated that collectively, annual spending for the four major cloud providers, talking Microsoft, Google, Oracle, and Amazon, will reach $520 billion by the end of next year. Now, Meta just created one called the Beignet Investor LLC. I think it's like Beignet? Yeah, Beignet. They raised $30 billion, most of it in debt, to build out data centers in Louisiana. Yeah, that makes sense. Beignet, Louisiana. And this is completely off of Meta's balance sheet, but it's effectively tied to their business. And even Elon Musk is looking to raise about $20 billion in the same type of structure that will buy NVIDIA processors and lease them back to AI, back to XAI. Once again, off balance sheet. And so what this does, it not only keeps the debt separate, but also isolates the risk to these particular projects. And it more specifically ties investors to this money that they're lent out. And so these are assets that are lightly traded. So the market liquidity is pretty poor. So it's not just debt on Meta or Google, et cetera. It's on the special purpose vehicle, which are difficult to analyze compared to, you know, a public company. And ChatGPT creator OpenAI, they're doing the same thing. They're spending about $1.5 trillion over the next decade. Yet 2030 revenue is supposed to be only $175 billion based on their own estimates. And so I worry a little bit about this, and I think you should too. This is where big problems arise. When it's equity that is being raised or the money that is being spent is out of cash flow from another business, the broader risks are relatively minor because you're not having complete bankruptcies. You're just having capital destroyed. Bankruptcies create layoffs and destruction and organization of entire entities. and that's disruptive. But when you, you know, misallocate some cash flow here and there, that just hurts some shareholders. And it doesn't have the broader impact that bankruptcies due to overextension of debt tends to cause. And when you're using special purpose vehicles, that's when it becomes a problem. So I don't think it's going to be a problem in the short term. This is more radar long term and shows you kind of where we are in the cycle. We're in the beginning of this. Okay, this is maybe 03 in that sense. But that doesn't mean you can't have a lot of volatility in the short term, especially that destroys the value of the equities. Think of what you've seen recently with Meta. And Meta had this issue back when they were misallocating capital around the metaverse, for example. And so there's two risks here. One's broader. This is the debt issue and could create like an 08 type of crisis. Once again, I'm not calling that for any time soon. And the other is more confined to just the equities of these companies. Now, you probably know by now that we get questions from the comment section over on our YouTube channel. And Iraq Don says, I found the small cap using AI. Oil Drill Corp, debt and ROE seem good, as several other metrics that come up on the show. What do you think? Entry point mid-40s or a little now? Okay. ODC is the symbol. Oil Drill Corp. ODC certainly is a small name, about $815 million market cap. That's after a very large run. Back in 2022, it was trading around $11 per share. Now we're up to $55 per share, been in a pretty strong, consistent uptrend since then. That's because back in 2021, they only made 79 cents per share. And now this year, it's supposed to earn $3.70. Now, what do they do? They develop, manufacture, market, and markets sorbent products. Basically, it is used for industrial cleanup, environmental products. Kitty litter that soaks up edible oils, petroleum-based oils, biodiesel fuel, etc. And I think because of what happened in the Ukraine war, this is part of that. It's ended up becoming a very profitable, consistently profitable business since. Its free cash flow has consistently gone up. $47 million in free cash flow trailing 12 months. On an enterprise value of about $800 million, it's about a 5% free cash flow yield. Pretty good. Not amazing, but pretty good. Pays a dividend. It's in an uptrend. It's a small name, but I like the balance sheet. I like the chart. It's pulled back to reasonable support. I have no problem with it. Enterprise value even around 8.5. Not bad. Return equity at 21. Not bad. It's taking that cash flow and bought back some shares since 2020. So I like it. AI can certainly help with these things. And this is a name that I think came up with a risky yet interesting name. Oh, and entering the 40s, yeah, that'd be great. I would pick up some now, though, because it's still above the 200 moving average and still in an uptrend. Thanks for the call. That was ODC is the symbol. Sorry. Thanks for the question via our YouTube comment section. Now let's play one more question now.
I have a question about ESS, Essex Property Trust. I'm getting mixed information when I do my own research, and I was wondering if you could help me figure out if this is worth picking up at this price point. Thank you very much, and I'll listen on the podcast.
Well, I wish you'd give me a little more context of what mixed information he was receiving. But this is a REIT, Essex Property Trust, in maybe mainly apartment communities here in California as well as in Washington. It's headquartered in San Mateo, so I believe most of that's Northern California. Free cash flow at $1 billion on a $23 billion enterprise value. Dividend yields 4%, and their payout ratio is only 77%, which is pretty low for a REIT. I like that. Profitability return equity around 16%. I like that, which is near an all-time high. Earnings are supposed to be up 2% this year after being up 4% next year. When I say earnings, I mean funds from operation. That's how you talk about quote-unquote earnings for a REIT. Revenue last quarter up 5%. Funds from operation up 39%. I like that. Overall, I see no major issue with it. It's down, but the broader REIT sector is down. So I think that's par for the course, really. Let me look at it. XLRS. I'm trying to find XLRS. Trying to look at it compared to its competitors. Yeah, I mean, I think it's fine. I have no issue with it. I like the apartment space, especially in these areas overall. You see that with revenue growth and rent growth. So I like Essex. It's a solid REIT if you're looking for an apartment REIT. Now, this is InvestTalk. I'm Justin Klein. We have one goal here each and every weekday, is to help you achieve your own version of financial freedom. And our work continues after this final break. So get your questions in right now at 888-99-CHART.
Rain or shine, there's always value in the Invest Talk podcast. 888-99-CHART.
Let's go talk to Bill in Northern California looking at Zoetis, ZTS. Big drop today. You looking to buy it?
Yeah, you know, I bought some back a few months back in the mid 140. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I thought, well, it seems like a pretty good company overall, and it's dropped a lot from its highs in the last 2 years or so, mm-hmm. where the valuation is better. And it has a medium but seemingly growing dividends. It'd be like mm-hmm. dividend appreciation. And just like a long-term holding, yeah, would this be a good – does this look like technically a good area to add?
Well, I think the real area is down around 112 to 115, right? 124 right now. So that's where I think longer term support actually is. Now, I think you're correct that this is a good company with good profitability, solid balance sheet, good cash flows. The problem is always been, it's been for a while, which is valuation. It's just been too high. It's peaked out in price of sales up around, where are we at, 15 times. Now it's at 5.9 times, which sounds a lot better, but you know, 5.9 is still pretty hefty. And even if you go based on next year's earnings of $6.88, well, it's a $124 stock. You're about a 20 times multiple. And guess what? Last quarter, and that's why it fell big today, was revenues were only up 1%. Earnings were only up 8%. And obviously, expectations going forward are not that hot either. Now, it's doing some good things. Like you said, paying a dividend, growing that dividend, buying back shares. So I like that. So I like that you're starting to look at it. But I still think there's a little bit more downside. What I'd probably do is sell like a cash secured put, maybe going out to December 115. In that range, I think that's probably a good bet. Things like that. And so you're definitely getting in the zone of a good company with growing earnings and growing sales and a good business. And for everyone else out there, I didn't mention this, this is it's basically a pet healthcare company. They do genetic tests, diagnostics, vaccines, medicines. They develop all this, they manufacture, they commercialize it, they discover it, et cetera. And it was been around a long time, about in 1952.
This isn't the one that spun off of Abbott Labs or?
No.
That was the other? That was IDEX, I think.
Yeah, maybe that was IDEX. Yeah, this is Zoetis. Yeah, so it's been around a long time. It kind of became a hedge fund darling for a little while because of its consistent growth and very strong business. But what happens is, these, I call them hedge fund hotels, is, you know, they'll jump ship as soon as revenue or earnings growth starts to slow. And that's what you saw back in 2022, and that's why it fell and still has never recovered its all-time high around $247 per share. That was egregiously overvalued. Now we're at 124. Once again, 110 to 115 in that range is probably really good support. That's where I'd start picking it up. But you're definitely getting in the zone. It's now at this point, and then we actually looked at this for our clients recently, and we still said, number one, momentum was just poor. And so we didn't want to jump in front of it. And then we were, we didn't see the value. It wasn't quite cheap enough for us to get excited about it. Now, after this drop, things are starting to get a bit more interesting. So I like what you're looking at.
Very good. Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
No problem. Thanks for the call, Bill. That was Zoetis. ZTS is the symbol. And, these are difficult. And you have to recognize there's patterns that you recognize in markets when you see enough names. And this is a very common one where a quality business gets very crowded and everyone wants to own it. Everyone's focused on, it's pets. People spend money on their pets. There's consistent demand, good profitability, etc. And all that's certainly true, but everything has a reasonable price. And this got way overpriced. Now, this is a more reasonable price to potentially get in. Still some risk there, but starting to like it. Now, I'm Justin Klein. If today's show made you think about your own financial picture in any way, your investments, taxes, retirements, your overall investment strategy, especially now that markets are starting to finally pivot, well, I encourage you to head over to investtalk.com and click on the portfolio review button. We thank you for listening. We encourage you to tell your friends and family about our free podcast downloads, which you can find anytime at iTunes or Spotify, as well as our YouTube channel. Be sure to rate and review on iTunes as well. Independent thinking, shared success. It's InvestTalk. Good night.
InvestTalk is a trademark of KPP Financial. Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for the listener to understand that not all comments made will apply to them. Specifically, nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell security. Because such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor firm, which retains all rights. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. Thank you for listening, and your comments and questions are welcome on our 24-hour listener line at 888-99-CHART.